Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know that God, through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, summed up the Scriptures with three commands that He has given us to live by. And in those commands, we are told to love God, love others, and go. All of the Scriptures is wrapped up in those three commands, thereby transforming us from our selfish selves to those who look upon the Lord and others as more highly than we ought, because they are the reason we go forward, going with the hope of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to do just that again as we again get into the Word of God. And today's sermon is entitled, Oh, the Marvelous Works of God. And I've chosen this title and this, what I'm doing here over these weeks is speaking of strength and strengthening the church during this time of trouble, turmoil in our world, because we are told that as we approach those last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and famines, all these things, and we are seeing them unprecedentedly. Throughout our world today, we are seeing prophecy upon prophecy being revealed to us. We are getting closer and closer to that great and fateful day when the clouds shall part and we will hear that trump and be called up to the Lord. Do I know what that day is? No, I do not know when that day is, but I can tell the seasons of time just as all of you can by what is happening around us. And we see the oppression and the fear that is happening in our world, and it brings us down, because that is the way of evil. Evil attacks us in three or four different forms. And I'm going to speak on two of those forms today. The two forms that I'm going to speak on are oppression and fear. All the attacks of Satan come in four different manners. And today I'm going to deal with two of them, as I said, oppression and fear. And that's what we see happening in our world today, because we feel the oppression, and that oppression comes at us, and with the things that are happening, there is fear within our land. But it's so amazing, because the marvelous works of God have canceled those things out. However, we still have to go through them. But do we remember the Word of God? So to that, I ask you to turn in your Bibles this day to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms 98. Psalms 98 is where we're going to find ourselves today. And I'm going to be reading from Psalms 98, verses 1 through 6. I could read the entire psalm. It's only 9 verses, but we're going to deal with the first 6. Because the others simply wrap up what we're talking about. But there's a reason I'm just choosing these 6. Because they speak to us, not the world. They speak to us. And when I say the world, I'm talking about the created world. I'm not talking of the world that man has made. I'm talking the world that God has made. But this psalm speaks to us, and it's understanding this and coming to wrap our heads and our hearts around what is being told to us here that brings us to that place of understanding the marvelous works of God. So from the first verse in Psalm 98, we read these words, "May the word of the Lord bless your souls. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Blessed be your souls from the word of our living God. Amen and amen." When I read this psalm, it speaks of a joy that comes But it also speaks of the why there is a joy. I want everybody to look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Because in the midst of this psalm, right here, we have something to remind us, something to tell us of a glory that is here, a marvelous work, actually. For it says, He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. What is that speaking of there? That is speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ through the line of Israel. And that is the blessing. Israel was meant to be the blessing for all mankind, that through Israel would come, and when I speak Israel, I'm speaking the man whose name was changed to Israel, okay? Through that line, which came from Abraham, comes Jesus the Christ, and all the world has seen it. I have many friends out there in the ministry that will say, you know, not, the whole world doesn't know. God here tells us otherwise. The entire world has known, because it has been preached to the nations. Now, does that mean every individual has received it? No, because there are individuals in this nation who will never receive it, for they are not of the Father, but they are of the father of lies. And that's something we all need to understand. But in this, we find our rejoicing. We find our hope. We find the reality that through the Christ, we have the strength to make it through all of these things that are coming at us. I want you to think about Israel. I want you to think about what they went through up until the time of this psalm. Please realize Israel was in captivity. Israel had been taken out of the land. They had been disciplined. They were a broken nation. They lost the whole one half of their tribes because they were taken out completely. But then Judah was left, and all of Israel was still there represented in Judah. But yet they were too disciplined. There was hardship for them. How many of you are going through hardship right now? You know, my wife went to the grocery store just the other day, and you know, we don't think about this stuff because it's stuff we deal with every day. And she came back and she said, yeah, can you believe that? That's $120 worth of groceries. And I just looked at her and I was like, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. And I'm reminded that right now, and I just saw this from an economist, from 2008 until now, do you realize we are paying 2.5 times more for food than we were? But I also want you to realize the portions have gotten smaller. So please remember, it's even more. So when you say, okay, it's 2.5 times as much, now you look at the amount you're getting compared to then, it's 1/3 to 1/2 of what you were getting. So it really is a 4 times exponential growth in what we are having to do in this world. Can you see how people are having a hard time? You know, I used to laugh because people would say, you know, how can you not make it at $15 an hour? How many of y'all can remember? Now, I have to correct myself. My wife corrected me yesterday. She said, would you stop telling people you're 62? She said, you're going to be 61. I said, no, I'm not. She said, Richard, I'm 63. You're 2 years younger than me. I'm going to be 63. You're 2 years younger than me. So I had to do the math, and I'm like, wow. I've been calling myself 61 for the last 6 months because I always talk ahead because getting older doesn't bother me. I'm really making myself old. So anyhow, I turned 61 here in just a couple of days. And I think about what it was like when I started working. I was 16 when I started working. And I was making $7.53 an hour. $7.53 an hour in 1978. Okay? Yeah, I'm really telling on myself. And for you folks out there that were around at that time, you know that was a fairly decent income. But today, that $7.58 translates to almost $25 an hour. When you think about what I just said about how much increase there is, we have to bump it up three times. So all of a sudden, what I was doing at $7.58 is $25 an hour. Well, what do you mean you can't make it at $15? Well, when gasoline costs $4, $5 a gallon, how hard is it to just make your life work? And that's just looking at one aspect of life. Now I want you to think about all the division that the evil one has caused in our world. I can remember I used to be able to rub shoulders with just about anybody. How many of us, you could go out and you could talk to anybody? Today, how many people are willing to talk to you if they don't know you? And even some of them that know you won't talk to you because of the divisions that have come into our world. We are divided racially. We're divided religiously. We are divided ecocentrically. We are divided socially. The evil one is here to oppress us. The evil one is here to cause fear within our very lives. And in that, we react, not respond, react. And our world is reacting at exponential levels because everything triggers everybody. Have you noticed that? Everything triggers everybody in some way, form, or fashion. And you have to wonder to yourself, what's going on? Hence, I started today with the song Always. God is always there, right? We know He was the God of the past. We know He's the God of the future, but we forget He's the God of the now because this is where we find ourselves and this is difficult. But what we need to remember is God is always here for us. And in this verse 3, we find that hope. We find that way of making our way through. And from that, we need to remember some of the things that Christ Himself has said to us. Because in those things, we will be able to defeat the evil one. And it so amazes me because whether you realize it or not, this psalm tells us how to defeat the evil one. But we need to, before I get there, we need to move into that reality that the salvation of our God is here. So to that, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus. I'm going to throw a bookmark back here because I'm coming back to Psalms a little bit later. But I want you to turn to Titus. I want you to turn to Titus. And we're going to turn to chapter 2 in the book of Titus. In the book, chapter 2 of the book of Titus. From the second chapter, we're going to be in verses 11 through 14. And these are things I just need to remind the church because, again, we remember it for the past. We look to it for the future. But you need to hold to these things now, here, in this moment. And in this moment, God says to us from the 11th verse, the second chapter of the book of Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." When you and I apportion this scripture to us, verses 11 through 14 in Titus, all of a sudden we are forced to deal with the fact that this is now. This is today. This isn't yesterday. This isn't tomorrow. This is now. We are anticipating His coming now. We hear the rumblings. How many of us have read the word that says, "And when you see all these things, look up, for your deliverance draweth nigh"? Amen? We need to remember that when we're seeing these things, man, look up. Look up and Maranatha, Lord, come and come quickly. The day is going to come when we're going to hear that voice. We're going to hear that trumpet, remember, because that trumpet is a voice. That's an angel calling out. And in that, we are going to be taken up in the twinkling of an eye. You know, the scripture tells us that very reality. And when we think about how that is going to transform us, we need to remember that the grace of God has come. It's here now. It's not coming. It's here now. But we are looking for that great and fateful day. We are looking for when He calls the church. Because remember, that's not His coming. His coming is later, and we're going to be coming with Him. Because God simply steps out from heaven, God in Jesus Christ, and calls His church home. He receives His bride to Himself. I want us to understand that from Titus, we can walk in every day knowing that God's grace is here for every human being. And we need to be living examples of that. I want your life to be filled with that grace. I want you to understand that no matter what happens, the grace of God will cover everything that happens. How do I know that? Well, y'all know I'm a hunter, and those of you out there who don't, you will understand. Because the reality is, that's where I find my Lord. That's where I find my solstice, is climbing a tree. You know, y'all probably think I'm nuts, but when I'm 20 feet off the ground, I ain't got nobody else to trust but Him, amen? Because I fall down, I'm falling far and hard. So let us trust the Lord in that reality. But I'm so amazed because just this past weekend, just these last couple of days, you know, several people that I love and dearly care for were out in the woods, and one of them sitting here today. And he got the biggest 8-point of anybody I know yet. He is one lucky sucker. Because he was out there and he was looking and he trusted to the Lord. That's what you said in your post, didn't you? And there God meets us. But God meets each of us in our way every day. That's how God met Matt. Okay? JB messed up. He should have told him, Lord, let me kill one today. He said, let me see one. We saw it twice. Be careful what you ask for. Learn that. But every day, God is here to meet us. Every day His salvation is afforded unto us. Every day is a day of joy and goodness in the Lord. Yes, bad things are going to come, but God is here to stay. Can I get an amen? And we need to remember that. You know, I'm reminded from my own life, I build trouble into my life. Can anybody else say amen to that? And I'm talking about your life. I don't want you amening mine. I do that enough myself. But you know what I'm talking. We are our own worst enemies. We build this stuff, and then we say, oh, why is this happening? Well, why did you do that? Well, because it seemed like what I should do at the time. According to whom? You know, we find ourselves walking in trouble because we walk in trouble. Now, there are times when things are thrust upon us, and we all understand that, amen? Because that's the oppression that I was speaking of. Because the evil one does attack us through oppression. He throws stuff at us to see how we're going to handle it. If you don't believe me, look at the book of Job. Is that not the entire premise of the book of Job? That God said, look upon my man Job. And Satan says, yeah, but you won't let me touch him. And he says, oh, no, you can touch him. You just can't hurt him. You can't kill him. And Job went through hell on earth, didn't he? But Job survived it, and on the backside of it, Job was blessed immensely. And that's where God has us, each of us walking and living that life of Job. Why? to prepare us for what is yet to come. Brothers and sisters, this entire life, everything you and I are going through on this side of the grave, is to prepare us for the eternal state. Because we will walk in the presence of glory all the rest of our days. And lest we know what is evil, how will we know what good is? That when we are there, how many of us are creatures of habit? If everything's good, we're all happy. But if everything's bad, oh my goodness, nothing's right. Nobody else is going to be right. I'm going to see to it. And God wants us to understand that in His presence, there will be joy. Because that's all you can have in the presence of a holy God. But we need to know the opposite now. Because lest we do, we will not understand free will. And we'll not be able to exercise it properly in eternity. So God pours these things out to us. God says, my grace has come. And He also says to us that we have won the victory. How many of you feel like you've won the victory today? Yeah, not a hand is in the air, and I got some really good looks right now. And you out there, I know you're feeling the same thing. There are times we do not feel like we are walking in victory, do we? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, God's Word says something different. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 15, we're going to be looking at verses 56 through 58. 56 through 58. Now again, when you put scriptures together, you better make sure that they are truly talking to you, not you are talking to them or through them, okay? So when you are correlating scripture, it better be the proper context for what your subject is. And I'm talking about the marvelous works of God. Now, in the NASB that we read, it says the wonderful things, okay? Well, I called it the marvelous works because in many other translations, it says marvelous works. And marvelous speaks of miraculous. Can I get an amen? And that's why I chose that sermon title, because they're not just wonderful works. They are marvelous works. They are miraculous works. They are the works of God. And what is the best work of God? It is the salvation of sinners such as you and I. We deserve death, but God gave His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And when we believe that, that's all we have to do. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. Can I get an amen, church? From verse 56 in chapter 15, we read these words. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The victory is already ours through Christ Jesus. He has spoken the word to us. He says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. The victory is ours through Him. He is our propitiation. He is our sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God whose blood was poured out on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to understand something. I told you, there's four different ways that Satan attacks us. The first way we are attacked by Satan is called temptation. How do we overcome temptation? By the Word of God. Okay? By the Word of God. You speak the Word of God in context, just as I spoke here a moment ago. You speak the Word of God against that temptation, and you will find the victory. How do we overcome oppression? How do we overcome fear? Well, I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But what's the fourth one? The fourth one is the accuser. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He constantly accuses us of being fallen. You fall short. You messed up over here. You messed up over there. How many of us deal with that every day in our minds and in our hearts? I'm a failure. I have failed God. God can't love me. This, that, the next thing. I am telling you right now, the accuser is on your shoulder. And if the accuser is on your shoulder, you've got one thing to claim. And it is the weapon that will defeat it at every step. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ. You claim the blood of Jesus Christ and you are set free. For if Christ sets us free, we are what? Free indeed. Brothers and sisters, we need to walk in the marvelous works of God, not the wonderful works of God, the marvelous works of God who has set us free unto eternity now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, now. And it is now every moment that we live. I can't live in the past. I can't live in the future. I can only live in the now. And now is when I am set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you and I need to walk in this stuff and understand that this victory that is spoken of here, that the sting of death is sin. We all know it. Because when we sin, how many of us feel bad about what we've done? And why do I keep doing that? Because we know it brings death. We know it brings death. And Satan constantly wants to accuse us. Well, we need to get the accuser out of here. And we need to claim that victory. And that victory is the cross of Calvary. And when we walk in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are free. Nothing can touch us. When we get to heaven, what is Jesus going to say on our behalf to the Father? He's one of mine. My blood covers him. She's one of mine. My blood covers her. Because it's by the blood of the Lamb. There is no other sacrifice for sin except the shedding of blood. Whose blood was shed? The blood of the Lamb. Jesus the Christ. And that blood was shed for you. That blood was shed for me. That blood was shed individually for every person in the world who will receive it. It is an unlimited atonement. All who would believe will receive. But it is limited in its approach because it is only for those who receive it. If you don't receive it, it's not there for you. You have free will. You get to choose. And today I pray that you choose wisely because the victory is yours now and in every now of every day. And when we walk in that, we can praise Him no matter what comes our way. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's famine. I don't care if it's bankruptcy. I don't care what it is because this world will pass away. We know that. And what is yet to come for us is far greater than anything this world could ever bring. But yet we cling to this world. Why? Why do we cling to this world so tightly? Why is this world so important to us? Because in this world we feel that we have to make it. We have to do something. Brothers and sisters, we can't do anything. Only God can, and He has through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And what is that? He has said, now there is no condemnation, for we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now you all know that I truly believe and hold to the Word of God. Amen, church? So therefore, I'm going to read to you an entire chapter because I have told you time and time again, I do not have the words of life. Only Jesus Christ is the word of life. So therefore, I'm going to give you His word. For thus saith the word of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ. From verse 1 in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you were living according to the flesh, you must die. But if the Spirit you are putting to death, but if in the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit who helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I just said a lot, but you know what I just said. For the word resonates in each and every one of our lives. I don't need to preach the word. All I need to do is say the word. And the word will do its work in you. For the word cannot go out and return void, but it will accomplish the task to which God has sent it forward. And I want you to understand, twice we read it in here, and many of you didn't even see it, because we don't see. We don't see, because faith is something you can't see. Can I get an amen? It's something we have to experience. It's something we have to trust to. And when we do, God will reveal the things of truth. And that's what I'm going to reveal to you today. One of the two things I told us that Satan does is he throws fear our way. What is the weapon that you and I have against fear? It's only one weapon, and God's word declares it beautifully. Many people are going to say, oh, well, it's prayer. No, it's not prayer. Well, what casts out fear? Faith. No, it's not faith. What casts out fear? What is the weapon that we have against fear? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Perfect love casteth out all fear. God's perfect love through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we claim that love, when we walk in that love, it is cast out. Did we not read that twice in this scripture? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. The love of God will cast out that fear. When you remember that you are so loved by God that He gave His only begotten Son, you cannot walk in fear anymore. The evil one has no hold over you. The things of this world mean nothing to you, for they are of this world and not of the kingdom to which we belong. Can I get an amen? We are only sojourners here. We're here for a time, and then we're going to get through. Today, a young gentleman walked into our door. I don't put these things in front of us. They happen because God's here. That young man needed help. Can you imagine what it was like walking into this church? He has no idea who we are. He's not from here. He's told us he's been living in truck stops with his family in the car, and they're on their way to an interview that he's got out near Johnstown. How much fear do you think that young man had coming in here and standing before people he didn't know and asking for help? How many of us are defeated because of that fear that comes from deep down within? But what other place is there to go than the heart of Christ? Oh my God, oh my God, are we named appropriately? And yes, I'm talking to him. I'm not blaspheming him. Because either we are the heart of Christ or we are not. And the heart of Christ is the love of God. Can I get an amen? And those who are in need, those who are in help, this is a hospital, for heaven's sakes. I don't know about you, but I need a major operation. And that operation is the transforming of my heart of flesh into a heart for the Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And he's been working on, I've been on the operating table for well over 60 years now, and I'm just now realizing it. And we are all on that same table, and he is working on his timetable towards that end, which is our end, when we will be made whole with him in glory. Can I get an amen? That young man went out of here, and I pray he was blessed by this church, that he will get to his destination and be able to do what's necessary to get his life started again. Because that's what he told us, didn't he, Brother Wendell? He's trying to get his life started again. And I pray that the goodness that came from us, that came through us, brings him to the place of not fearing when he gets there, but having the confidence to know that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That God is the God of yesterday, today, and always. And that as you and I walk in this truth, as we open ourselves to who God is, fear cannot do anything to us. But you and I need to know how to combat fear. And yes, when we combat fear, we are coming at it with the perfect love of God. But what is an expression of that perfect love? And that's what I want to get to. I want you to look back at Psalm 98. Psalm 98 tells us, the book of Psalms is filled with it. And I just wonder how many of us get it. Because one of the things that I told you, there's two ways that we're going to deal with here today. The first one was oppression. How many of us are oppressed by everything that's going on out there in the world? It affects us all. It's called oppression. Satan can't possess us, but he can oppress us. He can make us feel as though we're under a duress. Okay, that's oppression. To make you feel as though you're under a duress. How many of you feel as though you're under a duress? Oh, my heavens. But we know what takes that out, and I'm going to tell you what takes it out, but then I'm going to show you how it's expressed, because that's what the psalm shows us. How is it taken out? It's taken out. The woman that had the bleeding issue, how did she get it taken care of? She touched the hem of Christ because she knew he walked in what? The anointing of God. And if she could somehow access that anointing through her faith, that anointing would cure her. That oppression would cure her. You and I need to understand it's the anointing that we walk in. For we have believed by faith, and now who dwells in us? The Holy Spirit. That is the anointing of God. When we walk in the anointing of God, the evil one cannot oppress us any longer. The oppression that he passes upon us causes us to laugh and dance with joy. How do I know that? Look at Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nation. He has remembered his loving kindness, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen his salvation. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the sound of melody, with trumpets and with the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. What are we told to do? We are told to praise him. We are told to shout with joy. We are told to make music in our mouths and bring it forth. We are told to worship. Do you realize that the anointing and the perfect love of God are expressed itself through worship? When we worship God, when we are in that glory, that place of anointing, that place of the covering, all we need to do is worship God and speak the truth in joy, in praise. Does not the scripture tell us, therefore speak hymns and sing songs and make a joyful noise unto the Lord? We have the weaponry that we need to defeat the evil one in this world, and it's that simple. But yet do we do it. I'm telling you right now, I sing worship more now than I ever have. It just comes out of me. People hate driving with me because I don't have the radio on. I don't want to hear that junk because the joy of the Lord in me wants to come out. And the whole time I'm driving in my car, I am praising God. I'm singing to the Lord. I'm praying to the Lord because that's also part of singing. How much of the Psalms is a prayer? And you just sing it to the Lord in your heart. Just as it says that God knows the groanings of our heart because the Holy Spirit groans within us. That is the perfect love of God going back to the perfect God and understanding that we are set free. So when those groanings are coming out, just be joyful and worship the Lord in those groanings. Worship the Lord through that singing of love and everything that is. And the devil must flee. And brothers and sisters, what a world we would have if we would literally see that and rejoice in the Lord always. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now, Satan is going to come at us. God told me years ago that I am to prepare his people. And I'm telling you, he is impressing that upon my heart more and more the closer we get to this day. Because the hearts of many, the love of many is growing cold. Because of the things that Satan is throwing at us. He's throwing temptation. He's throwing oppression. He's throwing fear. And he's throwing accusation. More now than he ever has. And the entire world is in a turmoil. But we know the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we need to claim him now, every day, always. Because great is our Lord, and greatly to be praised. Can I get an amen? Pray with me this day. Father God, we come before you because we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. But oh, the marvelous works of God. For you have given us everything we need to overcome the evil that is around us and to truly set this world free. Because, Lord God, it's you that we proclaim when we speak those marvelous words, when we speak the worship, when we praise you in the midst of the turmoil, and when the troubles come and we speak joy unto you. For we know you are there always and forever. So, Lord God, I just pray that even now the heart of Christ would envelop each and every one, that we would know the truth of what is being spoken here today. For we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. For death has no victory over us. And we await the day when we will be with you. Forever and ever in Christ Jesus. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.